Okay. Boker Tov. Last night for, I guess, you guys, or early morning, or later morning for myself today, we began Slichos. Slichos is, I guess, in of itself an interesting phenomenon in how grown adults like to complain, oh, Slichos is so hard, it's so difficult, late at night, I'm so tired, I waste time doing anything and everything under the face of the sun anyway. But, we like to complain. And Slichos has something incredible to it. It really does. It's our first opportunity, really, one of our only opportunities we have in our Avodas Hashem, that we're actually doing something for God we really don't want to do that's really annoying. Like, if you think about other things that you do, you either won't do it, or when you pick it up, it's not so annoying. Like, learning in the morning is not so annoying. If you don't show up. But for the most part, if you're doing it, it's not so annoying. Slichos, unless you're of Sparty blood, for Ashkenazim, it is a full across the board. You go as Rechaim Kanievsky, you go as Mark Merrill, you go as random Chanalf guy who at 11:45 last night was on top of a girl and came back for Slichos, they're all going to say the same thing, Slichos suck. They're all saying the same thing. There's not like such a difference between the Chanalf guy and Leva Torah and Rechaim Kanievsky. I mean, there's a lot of differences, But in that regard, there's not such a difference. But when it comes to Slichos, it's a rare opportunity. We really get to do something we don't like. And it's not so short-lived. Yom Kippur is over in 2.5 weeks. We have 2.5 weeks. It's not okay, we did it one time and whatever. Like, it goes on and on. And I once wondered, certain things make sense. If you say Slichos at night of Chatzos, or you daven v'sikin, okay, it makes sense. We do it at Chatzos, we do it whatever, 20 minutes, whatever before time of the seeking is going to start. That makes sense, because otherwise we're holding up something else. But Yeshiva Davins, I'll just throw out 8 o'clock. It seems probably around the time Yeshiva Davins. If Yeshiva was to say Slichos tomorrow at 8 in the morning, so I was to say 8 in the morning, and we'll finish davening 20 minutes later, and you'll start morning dinner 20 minutes later, no one's going to really be all that upset. I'll even take a poll. 80% of Leva Torah wouldn't even realize anything else different had occurred. It would really just be, oh, davening must have been longer. I don't know. Maybe Rasim gave a really long dvar halacha about prisbal. I don't know. But it wouldn't really be anybody would be like, wow, something remarkably different happened. So, okay, that's a question. We're all going to complain. Gabi's going to be like, oh, I have my head is hurting, or I have this ache, or I have that ache, and this person's going to complain about that, and the Ben Brown will wear a skirt. Like, whatever's going to go on in the world. Like, we're all going to do our own thing. So why do we have to do Slichos? Why do we have to do Slichos earlier? Because it's that opportunity. It's an opportunity to show Hashem, I'm actually doing something I don't like, and I'm going above and beyond. And the novelty really, and okay, we'll bring in more, Lamaisa to here, the novelty of really going on during Slichos, it is one of the rare times you're really on the same boat as like the Rebbeim here. I don't know how many of you will watch football tonight. I'll be honest, we're on recording. I'll watch football tonight. And the difference between me watching football and probably you guys in the room, certainly Shana Olive, is it will not affect tomorrow morning for me one bit. It will not affect it one bit. I will be able to do the same exact thing as though I watch football. And for those of you that, even if you watch the early game or if you watch the 4 o'clock game that ends at 2 in the morning, we could call a spade, your day is going to be different. Your day is going to be different tomorrow. So in that regard, I can't relate to you. I am not going to be affected by doing something that 5,000 Shana Bet Yeshiva guys will do tonight. I'm not really going to be different. But by Slichos, we're in the same boat. It's annoying. It's earlier. Shir is earlier. Having coffee is earlier. Like, there's something about having something starting before, whatever that time is. It's like that scary time. Like, I don't know, like 7:40 in the morning, like crazy, crazy early. Like, it's like insane. Having to wake up like 7:33. Like, that's like really, really being daring. And, that's a real, real avoda. There's something about that you're going through the same boat. And to understand, it's like a real opportunity. It's not fun. Like, that's really the one way to put it. It's not fun, but we're all going through the same boat. I didn't really want to talk about that, but I just had, friends who were already, like, by 9 o'clock, American time, were fetching about, oh, Slichos is so long and this and that. And, like, just go to bed now. Say it tomorrow morning. Okay, I know it's cute. The Pismon says like Motzei Shabbos in the Pismon. That's why we say the first night. Like next Motzei, it's not a Motzei Shabbos thing. Next Motzei Shabbos, it's not Minakla Yisrael to say Slichot tonight. So just say it at 7:30 tomorrow for the 8 o'clock minyan and stop kvetching. Okay, it got me going. The thing I really wanted to talk about was these guys, phones. Another thing you can't connect to Rechayim Kanievsky, but you can connect to all the staff that walk around Leva Torah and you know most of you see in the street is obsession with phones. Besides Rav Kenny, because Rav Kenny did something. Because Rav Kenny's a man. He's not a little baby. He's not a boy. This fella, I don't want to say the influencer, but I follow his statuses. Some people, I don't know if people just block it or just most people don't post statuses or as your generation calls it WhatsApp stories, but it does say status on WhatsApp, so I'm going to still think it's called the status. But I feel like the same 11 people that always post, so either I'm blocked from everyone, like my niece, or if no one else really posts. I don't know. But one of the rare people that I see, like Donnie Fine, he posted last week, when's the last time you walked 100 meters without touching your phone? I'm not great at the conversion rate. I know my apartment's 120 meters, so I guess that means basically walking the full length of my apartment. I don't know how long it takes to walk 100 meters. I don't even know, I'll be honest, I sometimes, when I have a good run, I do I do kilometers on Strava because the number gets higher, and in my heart of hearts, it makes me feel better at myself. But I'll convert it after the miles because I have no idea how fast of a mile I did. And I have even less of a clue what's going on with meters. So I don't know. But I took him to heart last week and I walked 13 minutes around sea limb. I'm pretty sure that's more than 100 meters because my apartment is significantly smaller than, the square from the yeshiva all the way to the Merkaz and around. So I know my apartment's smaller than that. And I went 13 minutes and it was probably the most liberating 13 conscious minutes of my week. And then I made an even bigger decision, for the sake of my family that from 5:15 to 6 o'clock, I'm not gonna look at my phone either, because that's the most tempting time to look at it because that's when I need to escape from life because that's the hardest hour of my entire day, and it really was beyond liberating. I think with phones we're kind of hit or miss. Like people are either obsessed that they're on it all day. Or on the flip side, which we'll get to also, which is equally annoying, if not more annoying, I never look at my phone. So you don't even have a device. I have something, but I never look at it. So I don't respond to messages, and I don't pick up the phone, and I'm not going to call you, which is super, super annoying. So either be Rav Kenny and don't have, great, you send me a WhatsApp, it's not going anywhere, I don't have it, or learn how to use my phone, and learn how to use it with not having 16 and a half hours of screen time. So we're going to go through, I was going to say, when I was in, I think my second year in YU, I got a BlackBerry. If any of you know what a BlackBerry is, that was what they had before. BlackBerry was actually crazy convenient why they came out with this idea that I could go on a lunch break and be able to respond to emails, and it was really just created for that. And I ran a nonprofit while I spent time in YU, and this guy comes up to me, and when I got my BlackBerry, I said, at that point, it was still a little easier, because it hadn't overtaken everybody's life, and I made a conscious decision, which now would be much harder to do. Now you're making a statement. Then I wasn't making a statement because most people still had Nokias that you just used to you played Snake in the bathroom and you threw it at the wall because they couldn't break. That was what's going on. I made a conscious decision during Seder I wasn't going to have my phone out. Again, it wasn't such a from guy. It wasn't so crazy that I made such a thing. The biggest advantage of having the BlackBerry at the time was they used to have you sent the text message, not a WhatsApp, a text message, and it didn't have the conversation. So let's say I sent Ben, you want to come for lunch? And he would respond 3 days later, yes. I literally had no clue what he was responding to. I had absolutely, he wrote yes. I'm like, I don't know, yes, you flushed yourself in the toilet. I had absolutely no idea what he was responding to. So it was the first thing I thought was convenient that I actually was able to see the flow of messages. But in any event, I made this decision. I wanted to be like Ellie Waxman. It was going to be. You know, he was like 4 at the time. But I decided, it wasn't so funny what I said, but I like that you guys laugh. I like you laugh a lot. That's good. It makes me feel better about myself. I made a decision. I wasn't going to have it during Seder. This guy comes over to me like, I sent you a message like 9.5 minutes ago. Like, you haven't responded. Like, I'm like, I don't know. Do we have to book tickets to Israel? Like, Mashiach came. I didn't get the message. They no. We had like, I had this like question about something that like, I can tell you that like 5 minutes later, neither one of us remember that was of the utmost importance. And it was at that point when I realized, and I don't remember what I did. I'm pretty sure like after that point, like, I probably started looking at my phone because it convinced me during that time, like, no, everything's important. Like, you know, it could be that, you know, like when I, you know, whatever, like now it's a little later, but like I daven Vesikin the whole year. So like in the summer, like I'll convince myself like at 5:23 in the morning, someone's got a really important message to tell. No, no one has anything important to tell me at 5:23 in the morning. Like, you know, it's not, and even if something important is going to happen, my wife will be mocha because she's like, why would you be looking at your phone at 5:23 thinking that anything, like there are days I come back, like, you know, you would think that like, everyone in the family is like dead as could be because, you know, it's still an ungodly hour. So at that point I realized our lives are going to be overtaken, and it was only a year later that like the iPhones came into fruition. Like once you did that, it was like, yeah, every 8-year-old, like, you know, I could barely use my phone, yet my children, like, can figure out, like, how to use our portal and tablet and WhatsApp and iPhone and Android. Like, my wife is an Android. I'm telling you, I literally don't know how to get to a message. Like, I don't know how to do anything. And my kids are, like, meanwhile, sending out, like, ridiculous photos that are on there. Like, they somehow know how to access a photo from 2017, and I don't even know how to open up a WhatsApp on it. Pros and cons. I guess the most obvious pro of a phone is the ability and accessibility that we now have to Torah. It definitely does help that. It's probably also partially why no one can learn anymore is because it's so easy to get everything, so we don't actually put in any effort into anything. But we're not gonna like, you know, Rav Aryeh Leibowitz does have like 12,000 shiurim, and you know, he's getting like 700-800 hits like every day on everything he's posting. So There's definitely value to that. Another value is like the quick response. Like, you know, when it used to be when I went to yeshiva, I'm not so old. In 2005, you know, basically you would come in. Like, I remember I once came to visit. It is crazy. Like, this might be the craziest thing you're gonna ever hear or I've ever heard. I guess it was like 2008, 2009. I was in Israel for 3 weeks. I rented a Nokia in case I had to make phone calls or whatever. I charged that phone one time in 3 weeks. The entire 3 weeks I charged the phone. I am not kidding. I say this phone gets to get charged 3-4 times every single day, and the battery's not so bad on it. It's not even like one of these phones that, like, I had an old phone that, like, I put on the flashlight, and all of a sudden my phone was on like 32%. No, this is like a normal operating battery that had to be charged. And I charged the phone one time in 3 weeks. So, yeah, no one ever checked the phone, because what was happening? What did I need to check my phone for? I had, like, an emergency. I had to call a cab or whatever. I had to make a phone call. That's what the phone's being used for. But in theory, you can get quick responses, and there are ways of, like, you know, it is convenient. Instead of me having to find, you know, 8 people, I'm just able to, like, whatever, like, or you want to tell people I'm going to shear. Instead of a policy of having to go knock on everyone's door or send individual messages, beep, bang, one quick message, everybody knows what's going on. In theory, everybody knows what's going on. We'll get to that also, how dumb we really are. And I'll say, probably, one other advantage is for work, when eventually you get to that point of working, it does make work to be easier. Now, I'll admit, I've only worked in this generation. Somehow, before this, the world went on, like, my dad was able to work without a phone. Like, somehow, it wasn't like, he didn't make a parnasa, like, he was able to go to work every day. So, somehow, I have to believe that you were able to do that. But the one thing I will say, and I think the biggest pro, although there are negatives, but the biggest pro is my sister, who has been here, who made Aliyah in, like, 2005, 2006, I was there between 2005 and, like, 2012, like when the whole family got messaged, like, she didn't talk to anyone in the family. Like, no one talked to her. Totally crazy, like, WhatsApp groups. Like, she was not talking to anyone. Like, you would do that, like, one call a year to be like, Yotze, and no one was doing it. So, it certainly makes it easier for family. It certainly makes it easier for friends internationally. That, like, you know, WhatsApp is great. Like, out of non-Jews, they must all live, like, within, like, dollar amounts of each other because they don't know what Zach told me. Zach, who's like Zach? And Zach Allen, it doesn't look like Zach. And Zach Allen told me, like, when his boss in the summer asked him, like, what WhatsApp is. He didn't know, because it's not in the non-Jewish world. Like, WhatsApp is not on the same level as it is with Jews. Now, to be fair, we don't really know how to use WhatsApp either, so I really thought that was Zach Amos. Yeah, he had to look. He had to look. All right, in any event. Okay, we don't have to lose it. Gabi's representing Rav Bozer here well by not letting the tangents overtake their lives. The cons, not Rav Khan, the con, C-O-N, of having these bones are, they overtake your life. I heard, you know, even like, we'll have happy hour after. All right. One of the cons is they mamish overtake your life. Like, even when you can watch someone, like, even when you're doing something else, like, you're totally engrossed in them. Like, it's really crazy. Like right now, case in point. Like, we're always interested in something else. Ben, put your phone away!
I wanted to show you. Last week's average.
I don't care. We'll do it after. I said half the hour after. 15. That's amazing. That means your thing is broken. Yeah, we're over there. You guys did very good. All right, Rabotai. You're always interested in something else. There's always something else that's overtaking my mind. Like, you literally can't focus on anything. I think I told this to Ben and Ellie last week. I had, I'll call it the schutz, because I learned a lot. It's very good when you're with, like, other surroundings. But I had a few Shabbos last year. I had Beis Yaakov girls over. That's not like the way of saying my niece who goes to Michalah is Beis Yaakov. No, I mean like real Beis Yaakov, like where they have like a real agenda and not like we're more to the right and like we just say we're more to the right without an agenda. No, they have an agenda. And we had them like three or four different Shabbos, different girls from the same Beis Yaakov seminary, or maybe two. And they're not allowed smartphone. Like Beis Yaakov like does it right. Like it's not like, oh, that's like maybe yes, maybe no, like across the board. And most of them had it in 12th grade, and they'll all go back to it. And the number one question I asked them is, do you go on Tiyuls? They all said yes. They also have like a 2-day trip on like how to date and what to look for in a husband. So like they're doing a lot of things that are different than Leiva Torah. But you know, they go, I'm like, you go on a Tiyul? Yeah. So you go on the Tiyul. The Tiyul's over. You got to meet at a certain place. How do you do that without a phone? And they all answered. They tell us before to be at a certain place, and somehow we're able to do it. I'm like, okay, either you guys are really smart, or Leiva Torah is just a bunch of morons. I don't know, and it can maybe be somewhere in between. I don't know. But somehow, when we have this, it like overtakes us. Like, you forget that you have something called a brain that we're able to use. That, like, I don't need, like, you know, you don't need to have, like, last night, I don't need any 7 different times, Sichaz at 12. Like, somehow, whatever was going on in Beis Yaakov Benos Chava yesterday, whatever their schedule was, whatever they told them on Thursday night, with the schedule, somehow, they're able to figure it out. But no, 12:13, we're starting Sichah now. Because you didn't know it from when I told you, get off the, go away from the coat, they'll come back here. It wasn't clear that now we're starting. It really boggles the mind. Like, we just can't think. We mamish can't think. The other thing, I remember when I was in YU, used to be a thing called email. Email is also Chiddush. So I actually had last week, there was something that was driving me crazy. I didn't have a person's numbers. I emailed them. And I emailed them for my personal email. And I had like a back and forth, you know, like the little parentheses. And we got to 8 messages. And I believe these were the first, like if I look at like sent email, like my fourth to last sent email at my personal email was from like 4 months ago. So if I look at like that, this is like besides like spam or like mazel tovs or people dying, This is the first email I've had that's gone back and forth in like a year. On a personal email. Like, no one does it anymore. But there used to be a time when email was like vibrant. So what would happen? I would leave my dorm room at like 8:15, 8:20 in YU to go get breakfast. I would go to morning seder. I would come back like lunch, and I would see I had like 20 emails. And whatever, like, and there was like real excitement because it wasn't just like spam. It was like real people, and there was like real excitement. So last week, when I put my phone away on Thursday night from 5:15 to 6, and then like 6:40-ish or so when I looked at it, and you see you have like 11 new messages. And that's like prime time in America. Like both work and my personal, like my life is like mostly of people in America, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Like I'm like really happy, like that Ellie Waxman sent me a message. Like I'm really happy about it. Now, if I go back at 10:30 and Ellie Waxman sent me a message, I couldn't give a rat's rear end about it. But at this point, there was real, real excitement. It changed my life. I actually care. Because I take it for granted. Okay, I'll have eight, and I'm not like a millennial. I can handle my phone. I can respond to messages. I don't have 4,219 unread emails. I don't have, 742 unread WhatsApps, which in of itself, like talk to someone you have that. Learn how to manage your life. I'm able to manage it, and I have zero excitement. And that finally gave me excitement because it's not looking every second, oh, who's going to send me that message? Like, what's really going to happen and what's really going to change if I see that? And it really does change your life. Now, with that being said, with everything in life, and I don't know if any of you are like, hardcore alcoholics or like hardcore drug addicts, but let's just say for argument's sake, we'll say like, we're not gonna even go, but let's just say whatever, like, you do like cocaine like every single day. Don't do cocaine every day. Whether you do cocaine every day. And I come and tell you, don't ever do cocaine again from my limited knowledge of what goes on in the world. Although I convinced someone that I really know a lot about drugs, someone's neighbor, because there was a ton of powder and my friend who was moving to an apartment, like, that's like really weird. That's a lot of powder. So the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about, but like, you must really be holding. I'm like, no, I think it's just like from the walls because, whatever. That's how they build walls in here. It's all plastic. But like, it really did look like a lot of powder. But if you're doing cocaine every day and like then you just suddenly stop and you never do it again, I imagine like that's not really the correct mahal. So I'm not saying to go cold turkey. And I really, really am not saying like, if you're going to get rid of the phone, if you want to say, I'm chucking this out there and I'm going, I'm Rocketti, I'm getting a Nokia, and like, however I'm going to access my life with like limited contact, call a kavod. But if you're having this, learn how to manage it. Don't have Ben Reinberg, a message, I can't keep track of my messages. That's not good. Because you know what happened when we do that? Then June 24th, we wake up, oh, can you get me a job in Hask? As opposed to like, December, January, February, March, April, May, every single month when I came in and spoke to you every single month about it. Don't go cold turkey. Learn how to manage it. I think you should really devote a time during your day. I happen to, not everyone's in this, I like to think. I enjoy it. I like time in the bathroom to think. I happen to like, one of my most enjoyable times is Shabbos in the bathroom because happens to be the reading material in Israel is not that great. I'm not paying for mishpacha because I'm cheap. So it doesn't give me much to do. So I just think. It gives me a lot of time to think. I enjoy that. It's bad during the week when I have my phone. Now I don't think. Spend time thinking. Use your brain to think. Go for a walk. Exercising. It's really, really good. I don't know if you guys think I'm speaking well or not, but last week I went to one of the shiurim. Gatzer Charles guy. That was a complete dud. I didn't go for my morning run. That's real. It's real. It's a neurological thing. It's real. Thinking is a real thing. When we use our brain, we become different. We start thinking. Spend time. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half hour, an hour. Whatever amount of time that's going to be. But not like by accident. Not like, oh, I won't speak Lashon Hara from 3 to 4 in the morning. Oh, I'm really cute. Oh, I did that. I've never been awake from 3. Okay, maybe you guys are awake. I've never been awake from 3 to 4 in the morning. But like real time. Not like when, whatever. But spending real, real time. Consciously, I'm putting my phone away. I'm not going to have this. I don't need this. I'm going to talk to my friends. I'm going to look at them. It's not. I can't say what I want to say on recording. There's, even for me, there's going up. There's going after me. No, I can't say it. There's going above and beyond. But like this new yisod that like no one has eye contact. Now, I don't believe that. It just means that like we all have this newfound discovery and newfound issue. It's because we're obsessed with it. I can't focus on you because my interest is like I'm dying to know. How many messages I have here? Speaking of Zach Amos, I am dying to know how many messages I have here. It is killing me. It is killing me to know that. So I can't focus on Ben Render. And there are times. There are times like, we do have jobs. Like, if you're speaking to your Rebbe, it doesn't mean that he's like rude. It doesn't mean that he has a job. Maybe I don't. But, we do have time, but like, to really focus. Having time. Like, another thing of these Beis Yaakov girls, which like, again, I can't relate to it. Going to bed at 4 in the morning is like beyond the scope of me being able to stop what is going on in your brain. That's like, I think, also a neurological issue. I think you need to see a neurologist if you go to bed at 4 in the morning. I think you have actual brain damage. So I can't really relate to people that are doing that. But what was even crazier to me when they were saying they're going to bed 3-4 in the morning is they don't have Netflix. And they're all saying, like, and we're good girls. Like, it's not like, oh, like, it's all cute. Like, you know, we wear the long skirt. Like, and we change into, like, the short skirt. And, like, our entire chest is showy. And we go out partying all night. No, we're good girls. Like, we're not doing that. Like, they're not getting these kind of girls. And we're not watching Netflix. And we're not doing this. And we're not, like, sneaking out. Oh, I have my illegal phone. Because they don't know that. Like, I'm not sneaking out. Like, they're following the rules. And they're talking till 4 in the morning. That is absurd. What are you doing? But somehow they're able to do it, and they're focusing on each other, and they're building real relationships. Because when they're talking to you, they're not wondering, oh, is Dak Prescott going to like not have another game where they score 3 points, or the Cowboys aren't 0-2? Like that's not what's going through. And I'm listening to like previews of football games today when I'm running. So like I'm not like some sadistic here who should be like do whatever you want. Think about Dak Prescott. I have no issue if you want to think about Dak Prescott and Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Let them be in the forefront of your mind. That also, but focus on your chaveri. Focus on that time. That's why you don't come in a half hour. Then you know what you're doing is wrong. Focus on your friends. Focus on having attention. On being able to actually have. On actually having relationships and taking back your lives. Our lives, and you guys are, it's even worse for you. I haven't said one word about like really certain that this is able to cause. And probably the main reason I'm saying that is because I'm not really so convinced that like pornography really went on such a high rate because of this, and it wasn't going on before with like internet and computers. I don't really believe that, so I'm not going to really talk. We're not even getting into that. Whoa! Don't come in at 10:03. I know that's the game 2 minutes ago, and think like you could all of a sudden like get yourself onto YU Torah. Don't do that. You'll have your chance after. So I'm not even getting into that. But we all become prisoners. We become prisoners, and we don't have any time to think. We don't have any time to build relationships. And we're so like fast focused, like everything we do is mediocre. I can't do anything well because I've convinced myself if I do a lot of little things well, or I do a lot of little things, I'm doing things great. But really, all you're doing, like it's the same thing as like cue, like in baseball. Oh, you move the runner over, you do the small things. Yeah, if your whole pitching staff pitches to ERAs in the 7th and you never get a big hit, it's very cute. Man on second, no out. I move them over to 3rd. You're not going to be a very good team. It's not only doing the little things. Like we need to do big things also, and we need to get our lives back. I can't say it worked for all of you. It was really, really liberating for me. It was an unbelievable 13-minute walk. And it was even more unbelievable because I saw a guy that there's nothing I want to do more, take a selfie and post him on my status. Why did I post him on my status? So the 170 people, and now the new 7 people who joined the yeshiva who also look at my status, so I have 177 people who are going to see my status and be like, oh, incredible. I could talk about how fake statuses and Instagram and all that nonsense is also. Is that really why I'm doing it? No, but it was amazing. Like, I don't need to do that because right now, I don't need my phone. I don't need to touch it. The world will go on. I can promise you, I've been here 4 years. I have never had a time that if Boaz didn't reach me that second, Leva Torah ceased to exist. It's going to continue. We had a fiasco, with a personal fiasco, when I was davening mincha with, I 4 kids. We're all in different locations. My wife in a 5th location. An absolute fiasco. And I was davening mincha. You know what happened? And it wasn't great. I'm not going to like kid here and be like, everything worked out. It wasn't great. The world went on. It survived. I didn't answer right away. It would have been really helpful had I been able to answer right away. I was davening mincha. These things happened. The world went on. We'll conclude with this. Stephen Brzezinski, the Rav of B'nai Yeshurun. He's adamant about not having phones during davening. He has come out and said, as I get to your Hatzalber, that you will never need to answer a call during davening. Your day is, you're not that busy. He was a shul Rav of a shul, like probably, 700-800 families and as many associate families that they have connected to there. How many things he does. I promise you, he is busier. Even if you're Leva Chayal and trying to figure out how to sign up for the army and I don't know any Hebrew and when can I find Rav Dudi, like, the world will go on. Like, it'll really, really be okay. If you're saying I need 15 minutes, like, don't get, like, all stressed. Oh my God, for that message, I can't believe I missed that message. Like, oh my God, Brittany, like, she won't talk to me now because I didn't respond to her. Like, it goes on. I'm good at guessing names of people in Okadia or whatever. The world will go on. it will go on last year, and this really will conclude with, I happen to, I really should have a mukum because I don't like taking other people's mukum. It was nice before you could have Goldman came and down there. But now I try to find people's mukum. So like, as the year goes on, you kind of know the guys who don't come to mincha. At this point in the year, I don't know who doesn't come to mincha, and I don't want to take someone else's mukum. But someone left last week, like he came from mincha, he dropped his phone off. I'm diving in front of his phone. And I 5 minutes from yesterday, the guy got like 47 messages from like 28 different people, and Vanessa and Courtney and Yehuda and David and all those people who he didn't respond to right away because he wasn't there, their lives were fine. It was okay. Whatever that amount of time is, take back your lives. You'll be different people. Otherwise, what's going to happen is, as 18, 19, 20-year-olds, you're going to wake up one day, you're going to be pushing 35, and you're going to be like, wow, what do I do now? It's 15 years. 15 extra years I've been a prisoner. And again, not even getting into any serum that you're doing, which is also like a big issue that needs to get solved. Not even talking about that. Totally mutter. It's totally mutter to watch football. Oh, there'll be cheerleaders. You walk around Mappi Chemich, there's women who dress like cheerleaders. Hey, okay, it is what it is. We're not living in Beitar. We're not living in Kiryat Sefer. Like, we are what we are. Like, we grew up in modern Orthodox places, and that is what we are. Okay, it's not us because you're watching football because of that. It's us when you're watching people who take off their clothes. That is ushered us. But not even getting into that. It doesn't matter if you do that. It's just about taking your life. We're not going to be prisoners anymore.